Hello there. Today is Wednesday, August 3rd. This is VOA's International Edition. I'm Lori London in Washington. Coming up, in the midst of a state visit with the leader of Singapore, President Obama weighs in on Donald Trump.
He's woefully unprepared to do this job.
North Korea launches more missiles. U.S. airstrikes continue to target Islamic State militants in Libya. Americans wait in long lines to see a huge flower that smells like death. Also ahead, an American actress opens up about her battle with breast cancer. It's all on today's International Edition. Republican nominee Donald Trump is embroiled in yet another controversy at a campaign rally in the state of Virginia on Tuesday. He talked about a gift he received before the event.
You know, something very nice just happened to me. A man came up to me and he handed me his Purple Heart. Now, I said to him, is that like the real one or is that a copy? And he said, that's my real Purple Heart. I have such confidence in you. And I said, man, that's like big stuff. I always wanted to get the Purple Heart. This was much easier.
Well, that statement getting fresh criticism because the Purple Heart is awarded to military personnel wounded in combat. It comes amid an ongoing controversy over Trump's criticism of the family of an American Muslim soldier killed in Iraq. Families of fallen service members are known as Gold Star families. And in a highly unusual move, President Barack Obama slammed Donald Trump on Tuesday as unfit to serve in the White House.
The notion that he would attack a Gold Star family that had made such extraordinary sacrifices on behalf of our country. The fact that he doesn't appear to have basic knowledge around critical issues in Europe, in the Middle East, in Asia, means that he's woefully unprepared to do this job.
Obama challenged Republican lawmakers to drop their support for their party's nominee, declaring there has to come a point at which you say enough. The president said his opposition to Trump is about more than policy differences.
I think I was right and Mitt Romney and John McCain were wrong on certain policy issues, but I never thought that they couldn't do the job.
Obama is enjoying heightened popularity in his eighth and final year in office, and he's made clear that he plans to actively campaign for Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton. He and First Lady Michelle Obama spoke at last week's Democratic convention in Philadelphia. Well, Donald Trump's latest controversy, of course, getting a lot of reaction on social media. Let's talk more about what people are saying with VOA's Michael Lippin. Hi, Michael.
Well, there has been a lot of reaction, and some of that reaction came at the rally itself. Trump did get some laughs in the audience for his line about how it was much easier to get a Purple Heart medal this way. Some of his supporters just perceived that as a joke, and Trump does like to tell jokes on the campaign trail, but his critics were not amused at all.
Why? What have social media users been saying? Why are they upset?
Well, it was the way that Trump reacted to the veteran's gesture and his words that has enraged many of his critics. One of them is U.S. Democratic Congresswoman Tammy Duckworth, who is a wounded combat veteran herself. She posted this note on Facebook. I earned a Purple Heart in combat, and I know many others who have as well. It's not something anyone wanted to get. We earned them because our country asked us to. It's no surprise Donald Trump accepted a Purple Heart the easier way today, because that's the story of his life. He never sacrifices. He always has things handed to him. And then Duckworth invited people to join her in calling on Trump to apologize for what she called his disrespectful comment. Now, many Facebook users also expressed anger that Trump was accepting a Purple Heart given the fact that he got multiple deferments from military service during the Vietnam War, some for going to college and another for a foot condition. A lot of those people said Trump should have just thanked the veteran for his service and given the medal back.
What about Trump supporters? How are they reacting?
Well, here's a sample of some comments that I saw on Facebook. One from user Joey Flores. She says, "Don't know why people are crucifying Trump over this. It's an honor to receive a veteran's medal. It's like if your great-grandpa gave you his war medal. Would you be disgusted by taking that when it was given to you as a gift? No, you wouldn't." Well, here's another comment from Charles Leonard Hooper Jr. He says, "This vet gave Trump what was most likely his most precious item. He knows what's truly important, unlike Hillary Clinton. This vet," referring to himself, "thanks that vet for the honorable gift." Lori, back to you.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Michael. You can follow him at Michael_Lippin. We also invite you to follow the International Edition stream at VOA_IE. Here are some of the stories we're following at voanews.com. North Korea launches two more ballistic missiles. UN stresses the need to protect Yemeni children from airstrikes. U.S. courts strike down voter restrictions in state after state. Malawi relocates 500 elephants. And climate change denial a problem for Republicans. Find expanded coverage of these stories and more on voanews.com and on our VOA mobile app. This is International Edition. VOA's International Edition continues. Syrian rebels accused government forces of launching toxic gas attacks on civilians in a town southwest of Aleppo Tuesday. The government rejected the claim and accused the rebels of using chemical weapons themselves. State Department spokesman John Kirby says it won't confirm or deny the reports just yet.
I'm not in a position to confirm the veracity of them. Obviously, we're looking into it as best we can with partners in the region. And certainly, if it's true, and again, I'm not saying it is, but if it's true, it would be extremely serious.
Well, the accusations on both sides came amid heightened fighting around the contested northern city that killed at least 20 people, activists and government media did report. Now, rescuers and doctors in a town about 40 kilometers southwest of Aleppo reported dozens of cases of severe breathing difficulties, saying the symptoms pointed to a chlorine gas attack. Meanwhile, a suicide car bomb attack in the eastern city of Benghazi targeting Libyan troops killed at least 22 people and wounded dozens of others Tuesday. That attack comes just as the United States starts an air campaign on Monday in the central city of Sirte, the last bastion of the Islamic State extremist group in Libya. Now, the strikes followed a request made by the internationally recognized government, the GNA. The U.S. military launched those more strikes today against Islamic State targets. University of San Francisco regional analyst Stephen Zonis was asked by VOA's Victor Beatty how the GNA, a product of U.N. mediation, can act without having been elected by the Libyan people.
Exactly. It is basically an effort by the international community to put together a coalition of what they hope to be responsible forces who can bring the country forward, but they have been unable to provide a steady base of support. Now, one can be argued, of course, that based on the one election that the Libyans were able to have following the overthrow of the longtime dictator Muammar Gaddafi, that the majority of Libyans did vote for a moderate secular coalition. But these are not the people who have tended to have the guns and have not been the people who have tended to end up controlling much of the country.
Well, this unity government is using Western-placed rebels from Misrata to engage in this offensive. Does the U.S. campaign give us the sense that the offensive to push IS out of Sirte has stalled?
The fact that they did call in foreign air support is indicative that they are not strong enough to do it on their own. And that may mean that, especially given the warning that this could be a sustained operation, means that the internationally recognized government really does not have the kind of organization or kind of support to control the country on its own, even against an extremist group like ISIS that presumably has very little popular backing among Libyans themselves.
This does represent, though, a widening of the air war against Islamic State in the Middle East.
Yes, it does, and it raises the question about how long is this going to go on? Are we faced with years and years of this low-intensity conflict where the United States is involved in several countries attacking strongholds of ISIS and other extremist groups? Even if one can make the case that such operations are militarily necessary and are in the national security interests of the United States and other countries, it is, frankly, a rather disturbing prospect.
University of San Francisco regional analyst Stephen Zunis speaking with VOA's Victor Beatty. Well, non-travel cases of the Zika virus in Florida have now risen to 15. Officials in Florida have asked for federal help to prevent the spread. U.S. Centers for Disease Control on Monday issued a warning for pregnant women and their partners to avoid the area and for those planning to have children to postpone pregnancy if they show symptoms. Zlatica Hoke reports.
Health responders are spraying the affected neighborhood, and officials are warning residents to apply protective measures.
Biggest thing is no standing water, no standing water, and then no standing water, and then no standing water.
Florida Governor Rick Scott said Monday that all but two cases are linked to Wynwood area north of downtown Miami. The state has asked for federal help to fight the spread of the virus.
Today we ask for the CDC emergency response team that will help with collection efforts with lab, with mosquito control.
The Centers for Disease Control has asked women who have visited the Wynwood neighborhood in recent weeks to avoid getting pregnant for at least 8 weeks. Pregnant women are advised to avoid travel to the area, but what about those who live there?
I have to think every day, like, do I want to go outside or what am I going to wear? You know, did I carry my repellent? Is it going to be strong enough?
Officials are urging pregnant residents to undergo regular testing. Florida is one of the most attractive U.S. states for tourists. A virus threat could undermine the state's economy, warned Florida Senator Marco Rubio.
The Zika virus is not just a public health problem for Florida. It is an economic problem. Tourism is one of our leading industries, whether it's people coming through here to visit to the beach, people coming here to leave on a cruise, or people going to Central Florida to Disney World or Universal Studios.
Officials say there is no reason to panic as the state is taking steps to prevent the spread of Zika, the virus that can cause serious health complications, including microcephaly in newborn babies, began spreading in the Miami neighborhood in mid-June after local mosquitoes contracted the virus by biting people who were infected abroad. Zlatica Hoke, VOA News, Washington.
Well, residents and visitors to Washington, D.C. have been waiting in long lines at the U.S. Botanic Garden Conservatory to see a rare blooming flower known as the corpse flower, which is said to smell very bad when it starts to blossom. It is the first bloom of this particular plant, which is 6 years old. VOA asked visitors why they were willing to wait in line so long just to see a huge plant that smells terrible.
I live not too far from here, and somehow the idea of seeing a giant flower that smelled like rotting flesh close to my house seemed like a good idea to do after work. I don't know why. And I waited an hour to do this. It doesn't smell nearly as much as I was hoping, and that is a very strange thing to say.
So I waited 30 minutes, and I missed 2013 when another one was here, so I didn't want to miss this opportunity, and I like taking pictures. So this was my opportunity today. I've been here for about 3 hours already.
It's an experience that you can only get once every couple years, or in this case, every 6 to 10 years. So my friends happened to come into town today.
You can see our bags.
So
we just got here.
So what's the best way to introduce them to D.C.? But
buy a stinky flower.
Yeah.
What?
Buy
a stinky flower. It only took an hour or so.
It's also very cool to see. Just because I know it's rare, it's neat to see things that you know you're not able to see that often.
It's fascinating. And, you know, there are only limited times you can see something like this. They don't bloom very often.
But then I'm also
We've been watching for it.
We're hoping to get the smell, but it's not here yet. The aroma. We always love the smell of good flowers.
Even when it's a stinky one?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that makes it better.
Well, I did talk to these folks, and they were actually disappointed that the flower didn't smell worse. Apparently, it smells worse at certain times of the day. The flower is a celebrity in the plant kingdom, and when it went on display, it was about 3.5 feet tall. You're listening to International Edition. This is VOA.
News happens around the clock. And VOA brings you the latest at the top of each hour.
This is Joe Palca.
I'm Victor Beatty.
Francis Alonso.
Tune in for a summary of the news at the top of each hour, around the clock on The Voice of America. Hourly newscasts on the radio and on the internet at voanews.com. VOA, a leader in news coverage for over 70 years.
The political party convention is a critical part of the American electoral process. VOA correspondents are there, reporting the latest developments.
Jim Malone, VOA News in Cleveland.
Catherine Gibson in Cleveland, VOA News.
Tune in to VOA's extensive, up-to-the-minute coverage of the U.S. presidential election.
This is VOA's International Edition. Actress Shannon Daugherty, who is now getting very candid about her own breast cancer diagnosis, sat down for an exclusive one-on-one interview with Entertainment Tonight's Jennifer Parros, who now joins us to talk about this moving conversation.
In February 2015, Shannon Daugherty, the famous actress that everybody knows mostly from 90210, she was diagnosed with breast cancer, and she had just found a lump while she was in the shower. She wasn't even doing a self-breast exam, and she went to the doctor and found out that she had early stages of breast cancer. She announced it to the public August of last year. We heard her on Dr. Oz this past March saying that she still had cancer, but she looked completely fine the last time we saw her. I sat down with her last Tuesday out in Malibu, California for her first sit-down interview, and she had told me that, you know, her breast cancer actually has spread. They had found it in lymph nodes. They found cancer cells attached to her lymph nodes, and they're not quite sure where it has gone yet. So she actually had just completed her third round of chemotherapy this past Wednesday. She has 5 more to go. After that, she'll complete radiation, and then they will find out then if her cancer has spread to other parts of her body. And, yeah, it was a really emotional interview. But it's interesting. From the start, even before we did go on camera, she wanted me to know that she was just sitting down once and for all just to talk about this, because she kind of wanted to control the story and make sure her message got out there. Initially, actually, she didn't even want to talk at all. She posted these beautiful photos of her on Instagram shaving her head. And she thought that was going to be it, but there was thousands and thousands of women and men who reached out to her and said, you know what, I'm going through the same exact thing. Thank you so much for sharing your story. So she decided to sit down once, tell all the story. And she really wanted me to know that, she's scared. She wasn't, mm-hmm. She's not sure of her future. She's scared of leaving her husband and her mom behind. And it was interesting to see, you know, this famous actress that everybody has known for years get really emotional and really real. She's just like thousands and millions of people out there suffering from cancer.
Yeah. And it's one of those things when someone calls you and says those three words, you have cancer, your life is suddenly never the same. And it's certainly something that I think, you know, most people who are first diagnosed would never even comprehend such a thing. Not me.
And that's what she said. You know, she was actually in a car with her mom driving back from shopping, and her cell phone rang, and she picked it up, and it was her doctor. And he said, you know, Shannon, you have breast cancer. And she was like, what? She hung up right away, called her husband because she just was in complete shock, told her husband he was driving as well. He had just a breakdown on the phone, and she pulled into her driveway a few minutes later, and he was just standing there hysterically sobbing, and that's when it finally hit her. Her life would be changed forever, and she was very strong, very emotional, but very inspiring. And she actually told me, she was, listen, she's like, I don't want to sit here in front of a camera and tell the entire world that I had a single mastectomy a couple months ago and that I'm throwing up every single morning after my chemotherapy treatments. But she told me, if I can just help out one person out there going through the same exact thing like me, that's enough for me. That's worth talking.
She talked about how this has really strengthened her marriage.
She said her marriage really has been stronger than ever. She married her husband, Kurt, in 2011. So she said, you know, after 5 years, their marriage and their relationship is stronger than ever. You know, he had one breakdown. She said one morning she woke up and he was sitting at the side of the bed, and he was just hysterically crying, saying, you can't die. You can't leave me. What am I going to do without you? And that was really the only time that she had to kind of pick him up and snap him back into reality. And she said ever since then, he really has been her rock.
I also saw that she said something pertaining to the fact that her dog knew she had cancer before she did.
So before she found the lump, she had noticed about a week before she found the lump, she had noticed that her dog, Bowie, she noticed that he was really sniffing her entire body, that he was cuddling in bed with her constantly, wouldn't leave her side, but sniffing her from head to toe. So she thought that was all strange. And then she found the lump. She went to the doctor, and she put two and two together and realized that her dog had known. Before this, and every night her dog would actually fall asleep, his face would fall asleep in her armpit, right next to her breast. And then once she started doing chemotherapy about 6 weeks ago, anytime she gets home, her dog will constantly lick her up and down. And she said it was absolutely amazing to know that her dog knew that something was wrong before anybody else did.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
It really is.
How can people hear more about your interviews with her?
It's going to be airing tonight and tomorrow night on Entertainment Tonight, but also on etonline.com. We will definitely have all of the packages that ran on the show, along with unseen footage that you did not see on the show. So definitely head over to etonline to catch all of our exclusive sit-down interview with Shannon Doherty. She was very inspiring, brave, and I was completely in awe of her courage. So thank you to Shannon for sitting down with me.
All right, and thank you. That is Entertainment Tonight. Senior News Editor Jennifer Peros. You can watch the full video interviews online at etonline.com. This is International Edition.
This is Science in a Minute.
A number of studies have linked increases in atmospheric carbon dioxide with global warming and climate change. Because of this, scientists have focused a lot of their research efforts in trying to reduce the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere. In a process known as photosynthesis, trees and other plant life take CO2 in the air and, with help from the sun, converts it to sugars that store energy. Now, a new study from the U.S. Department of Energy's Argonne National Laboratory and the University of Illinois at Chicago offers a new method that could allow for the conversion of carbon dioxide into a usable energy source. Trees and plants use natural enzymes to help spark the CO2 conversion to sugars. The study proposes the use of a metal compound called tungsten diselenide to help convert the greenhouse gas into usable fuel such as methanol. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Katy Perry's latest single will be adapted for the televised American coverage of the upcoming Rio Olympics. VOA Border Crossings host Larry London joined International Edition's Sarah Williams to tell us all about it.
Katy, who has sold over 100 million records around the world, was Billboard Magazine's Woman of the Year in 2012. And, of course, we know her from the Super Bowl halftime show a couple of years back. And she's back now with a brand new single. And she said this is a song that's been kind of in her head for a while now, but she thinks now is the right time because it's a song about unity. It's a song about coming together. She said the world needs a song like this. It's called Rise. NBC Television has adapted the song as the theme to the Rio Olympics coverage they're going to be starting this weekend. So Katy's new song is out now. It debuted at number one in Australia, debuted at number 11 in the United States. It's moving up the charts. And the video's coming out this week. It comes out Thursday for the song. And it's kind of a video that features different elements. She's got a pink parachute and And she's outdoors, and there's wind in her face, and there's a lot going on in the video. But she said, now's the time for this song, and everybody needs a song like this. And apparently she's right, because a lot of people seem to be liking this song.
Katy Perry was fairly, she was quite visible at the recent Democratic National Convention.
Yes, she did give a speech on behalf of Hillary Clinton, and she and her boyfriend, Orlando Bloom, who's an actor, they kind of worked on the speech together. She's been an advocate for a lot of things, gun control and things that, you know, former Secretary of State Senator Clinton seems to stand for these days. And so that's kind of, you know, where she's at, and she wanted to put her stamp of approval with a lot of different celebrities who came out to endorse Hillary Clinton for the presidential nomination, which she received. But that's for you to cover in the newsroom. That's not for me in the music world to worry about. But Katy is definitely out there. She's lending her face to a lot of different things, including CoverGirl Cosmetics. She was one of the most followed celebrities on social media recently. And as I mentioned, she had a much publicized divorce with Russell Brand a couple of years ago. And now she's in a much publicized relationship with actor Orlando Bloom. And her fans are known as Katy Cats.
Ah.
They support her around the world. So we suspect a new album will be coming out soon. She said she didn't want to wait until the album came out to release the song Rise, because she mentioned, as I said earlier, now's the time for a song like this, which is a good tie-in with the Olympics and the message the Olympics are presenting to the world as well. The song's called Rise.
Going to do it for this edition of International Edition. We are so glad you could join us, but you can follow us anytime at voanews.com. Thanks so much for being here, and thanks to our director, Tracy Carter, and our engineer, Jimmy Cook. I'm Lori London in Washington. Have yourself a great day.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Rights monitors report that an ailing Christian woman held in Iran's Evin prison for 3 years has been denied medical leave. Mariam Zargaran was arrested in 2012 and sentenced, because of her Christian faith, to 4 years in prison for supposed security-related crimes. She has been on a hunger strike for weeks, protesting the refusal of authorities to grant her medical treatment or leave. According to Iran's new Islamic penal code, prisoners can apply for conditional release after serving a third of their sentence. Ms. Zargaran is reportedly suffering from heart and hearing problems and other serious ailments, and has complained of poor treatment from the prison's clinic. Both Amnesty International and the U.S. State Department have noted and condemned the practice by Iranian authorities of denying proper medical care to prisoners of conscience and other political prisoners. Both have also noted that the persecution of religious minorities in Iran continues unabated. Iran remains a country of particular concern under the International Religious Freedom Act in the U.S. Christians, Muslims who do not adhere to the government's official interpretation of Islam, Yarzanis, Jews, and most particularly Baha'is face discrimination, arbitrary arrest, imprisonment, and worse because of their faith. Despite President Hassan Rouhani's promise in 2013 that all ethnicities, all religions, even religious minorities, must feel justice. Iran has ratified the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and is a signatory to the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, both of which guarantee freedom of thought, conscience, and religion. Secretary of State John Kerry has said that the basis of this critical freedom is respect.
And respect, in turn, demands legal equality. It demands that the practitioners of one faith understand that they have no right to coerce others into submission, conversion, or silence, or to literally take their lives because of their beliefs.
The United States, as President Barack Obama has said, remains committed to promoting religious freedom both at home and across the globe, and urges every country to recognize religious freedom as both a universal right and as a key to a stable, prosperous, and peaceful future.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.